When you talk about the issue of capacity building for the developing world in relation to brain drain or brain gain, we need to look at it from a very broad perspective. There are what are known as the push factors and the pull factors. The push factors have got to do with why do people choose to leave their own countries to go abroad for whatever reasons? What is it that making you go? What is pushing you out? And for young people who are looking for capacity building, are talking about lack of employment, bad terms of employment, lack of resources in learning institutions, and the list goes on and on and on. And therefore, if you look at that big list of push factors, it simply implies that if you remain in your own country, you lower your chances of a bright future. So what do? You go to where you're being, where you think that you can improve your chances of a bright future. You're talking about the full factors this time. The opportunity to find a good degree. The opportunity that you can find the resources you need to improve your future. The opportunity that there is a working system, a system that enables you to self-actualize. And that's what you're looking for. And therefore, you leave your own country. Of course, I cannot ignore the impact that the departure of highly trained or well-talented or highly potential people will have on the institutions of developing countries. And you're talking about serious impacts here. Let me talk about my own country, Kenya. Until 1990, we had trained about 6,000 doctors. Only 10% of that were working in Kenya. And it turns out that 80% of our hospitals in Nairobi, in Kenya, 80% of the hospitals are managed by nurses simply because the doctors are not there. And as though that is not bad enough, we are still lacking 128,000 nurses. We are talking about developing countries as a whole, for example. We are talking about us losing about 20,000 of doctors, like she has already said in our opening statement. And that out of the foreign aid we receive from developed countries, 35% of that, we use it to hire experts, about 10,000 experts to work in developing countries. So there are serious problems here, and I don't want to ignore them, that they are not there. They are really there, and they are quite serious, and the list can go on and on and on and on. And therefore, some well-meaning countries and institutions have actually made it their policy. If we are going to admit you to learn here, you must promise to go back to your country and help build your country. I'm sure this has been done from with out of goodwill and the need to build capacity for developing countries, and the need to feel like we don't have to extract, we have to give back at one time or another. And I think that's a good gesture. But while this is actually a noble thing to do, the question is, the time has come when you have to look beyond going back. And the time is here that we have to kind of think broadly, think outside the box. Like, for example, if you ask most of the students sitting here, if you tell them from developing countries, you have to go home after you study, the first question is going to be, go home to what? Go home to do what? You see, some have got no jobs to go back to. Others have got no families behind besides their extended families. Others were jobless, and in Africa we call it hustling. The idea of just struggling day by day to make ends meet, and you always live a day at a time, you have no idea where your next meal is going to come from. Some came out of those situations. Now you're telling them to go back. You must be kidding. We have to find a solution to this. The question is, and this leads us to three important questions. Of course, it's a group of questions that is going to go back voluntarily. I went back voluntarily because I went back to my job. As a matter of fact, when I was here at ZEF, I was getting 80% of my salary. It's not much, but still 80% is something while I was studying. And I was bonded by institution that should you not come back, you're going to pay back. I had a job to go back to. I had a tenure at home. I had a family to go back to. I had two beautiful children to go back home to, and a husband waiting for me. So I chose to go home. But there are these people who completely don't have that. And the question is, what do we do about this group of well-talented students of whom it's not within their interests to go back home? And should this scenario necessarily lead to a case of brain drain? Do we have opportunities to turn scenarios like this into a win-win outcome for both the individual diaspora, the country of origin, and the host country? In other words, we've got plenty of lemons here. Can we make some lemonade? Is it impossible to do that? And how do we turn this situation into something which is win-win? I am convinced that going back home is not necessarily the only way that diaspora can contribute to the development of their own country. I choose to argue that actually such talented people to whom, because the push factors are still there. Look here, nobody is out to do charity for their countries unless they choose to do that. And nobody should be forced to do charity for their countries. In other words, economies talk about individual utility maximization. Everybody is looking at how they can better their own welfare. And even if your welfare is better, there's a better mind, well and good. But the issue is utility maximization and making something very important for myself first and foremost. So I choose to argue that such kind of people should actually be supported and helped to settle down where they think their contribution can be made. And on the other hand, a time has come for governments in both developing, that is for policymakers in both developing and developed countries, a time has come for them to think, how best can we make use of our citizens within and without the borders? I'm talking about such initiative programs which have already happened and successfully happened about the diaspora bonds, for example. It's a good way. You see, the truth is remittances are good and remittances are welcome. Remittances go to individual households. Anybody with a relative or a kin abroad gets remittances. Anybody without does not get it. And therefore, because of such characteristics of remittances, they may not make up for the social costs and they may not effectively address development as a whole. And therefore, remittances are good and they should be there. But still, my argument is governments can, policymakers can do more to capture or to tap into incomes of diaspora. And one way is by giving out maybe the diaspora bonds. This is one way of really, I know diasporas have got goodwill, first and foremost. They have goodwill and they want to do good to where they came from, especially if they get successful here. And therefore, by coming up with something like a diaspora bonds, you are kind of tapping into the diaspora incomes and mainstreaming that into addressing the push factors and, more importantly, into capacity building and general development. Of course, diasporas, when they are here, for example, they can come up with programs, for example, networks, that they try to link their institution with where they are working in. Like, for example, diasporas working in SEF, for example, could collaborate with diasporas in home institutions, do some collaborative research, I mean, and kind of look for funds to find ways in which they can encourage other people to remain there by addressing some of the constraints that would make them want to go, especially finding research funds. The University of Nairobi has got very minimal research funds. They are almost non-existent. So by failing opportunities for faculties back home to do research, for example, you are addressing a very big challenge and you could be helping somebody not think of going anywhere. This list can go on and on, but I must talk about something I heard yesterday, a very good initiative from the DRD about the Africa Action Program, creating the Centers of Excellence. I think it is also another way of addressing some of these challenges, whereby you aim at creating a similar scenario, a similar studying environment like somebody would find in Germany, for example. And that would also go a long way in addressing these challenges. Of course, there are other initiatives that could really be looked into in order to encourage to address the push factors. Of course, even the national governments have got to do a whole lot of work to address the issue of job creation, that is growth, which is job creating. Of course, a lot of countries are growing, but that growth is jobless. The issue of job creation really needs to be addressed in the midst of all this. And even as developed countries try to address the push countries, and even as the diaspora themselves try to think about how much they can, how well they could be involved into their countries without necessarily being there. Generally, the point I'm making is that capacity building in developed countries for people from developing countries need not necessarily lead to brain drain should those people choose not to go back. Rather, it could be turned to brain gain, which will eventually build more brain through triple effects of economic development. Thank you very much.